Hare Krishna. This morning I gave class from Srimad Bhagavatam and third canto, the concluding, one of the concluding verses to the chapter was the diameter of the universe, which there it is described as according to sense perception, the diameter of the universe is 4 billion miles. And I spoke quite at length to devotees about the temple of Vedic Planetarium, explained to them what it was and how it fit into Srila Prabhupada's preaching vision. Indeed, it was actually one of the main aspects of Prabhupada's preaching vision. We've heard from the Temple of Vedic Planetarium fundraisers and preachers how the completion of that temple is really going to spark a worldwide revolution of Krishna consciousness. And I'm just going to talk about that, how at least my limited understanding of that is how that will take place. And I do believe that it will take place because it's predicted by Lord Nityananda, it's predicted by Srila Prabhupada, and it's something that we as Vaishnavas have to realize, and that's why the support of the TOVP is such an important thing. But the TOVP in itself is simply a structure for the real content of the thing, the real content of Prabhupada's preaching mission. And that content is defeating Darwinian evolution, as well as the modern version of cosmology, of the universe, which are two of the fundamental underlying scientific bases of materialistic society. You kick them out and the whole pack of hearts is going to crumble. And that's the plan. That's the greater plan. So how does it work? Well, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about a lot of things. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam just summarizes the things that we see in Vedic literature, that are presented in Vedic literature. But they'll fall into two different categories. That those are things that you see, and those are the things that you don't see. So what are things that we don't see? Well, we don't see Krishna. We don't see the soul. We don't see Krishna's incarnations. We don't see the spiritual world. We don't see the heavenly planets. In fact, for the most part, things in Srimad Bhagavatam we don't see. We hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but actually we don't really hear even that, because what we're hearing is our pronunciation of the Mahamantra, which, unless we happen to be chanting purely, is something else other than the Mahamantra. So everything, or at least the good, all of these things that we're presenting require great degree of faith in order to pursue Krishna consciousness. And people who don't have that faith, for them, that would become another religion. And of course, sometimes we're rushing to the fore to become another religion, but we don't want to be another religion, because religions don't change the face of the earth, at least not in this present day and age, when people are very scientifically minded, where they're very intelligent. They don't just go on blind faith. They really want to see science. And then Bhagavatam talks about things that you do see. What is it that you see? Well, you certainly see this world. And you certainly see the living entities in this world. So where did the living entities come from? And where did this world come from? And how did it come about? This is what Temple of Vedic Planetarium is meant to present. Because if when you say that the universe is 4 billion miles wide and the scientists are talking in light years, which is unlimited times greater than 4 billion miles, then if what Bhagavatam says about what you see is incorrect, then the things that you don't see, well, there's even a higher chance that that's not correct. Now, our stance is that every word of the Bhagavatam is correct, is true. So if Bhagavatam then says the universe is 4 billion miles wide, then you've got to be able to prove it. You've got to be able to show it. And the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is meant to actually show how the Bhagavatam description of the universe is the real description. That is what here, in the way that Srila Prabhupada translates it, the universe that's perceived to the senses, the dimension of the universe that's perceived to the senses. So how is it that whatever it is that scientists see, I'm not an astrophysicist, so I'm not going to argue the details of that, I'll leave it to smarter people, but whatever it is that people see, they're seeing is this, and that's what the TOVP is meant to represent. And similarly, that as far as the origin of species is concerned, that we need to show that inverse evolution is the evolution that actually works, makes sense, and show that actually there isn't even any evidence for the theory of evolution, because theories don't need evidence, because that's all they are. They're just theories. And that's all it is. It's a theory. It's not the process of evolution. It's the theory of evolution. We have to show what real evolution is like, and also explain that. When you do, and when we do present these, then people, and this is now everyday people, they will get faith in Krishna consciousness. They will really get faith that otherwise they may not get by just hearing us chanting on the streets, by visiting our temple, by seeing the deities. As Prabhupada said in one morning walk, that deity worship, temple worship, he says, this is our own private business. But the real preaching is scientific preaching. It's for people who don't have the adhikar. Elsewhere in another discussion, Prabhupada said this highly complimentary, but very difficult to comprehend thing, is that he said that we have, talking about his followers, he says, we've collected the cream of the crop. We've collected the best. In other words, those who have already come to Krishna consciousness, they're the cream of the crop. And what about the rest of the 99.99% of the world? What about them? They may not have that type of piety that will bring them to Krishna consciousness. Still, our business is to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. So how do we do that? Of course, one of Prabhupada's plans for that was just exactly that, Varnashram. Varnashram is get people who don't yet have the qualification for devotional service to bring them to devotional service. And how will they take up devotional service? What's the thing that's going to actually convince them to do that? Because they have faith. They come to the realization, hey, listen, everything that we've been taught in school is all a hoax. It's all cheating. It's part of some big master plan for me to be a materialist. And here is the evidence for that. And the evidence here is being given by the Hare Krishnas. So when that happens, materialism really collapses because the whole philosophy of materialism is being exposed. And it will not just lead in a different type of education, but it will meet a political change. People will recognize that for the last 100 years or so, they've been completely misled, because prior to the Industrial Revolution and everything that followed after that, and the Technological Revolution and the Communication Revolution, there was one concept for evolution, and that was creation. And that was when God created the world. He created the structure of the universe. What this structure was sometimes was very childish, like there was only the planet was the center of the universe, and there was a little moon and the sun around it, and everything was going around the planet. But the general idea was the same. It was created by God. God created all species of life. It's just changed very recently. And at that time, people's value system and their goals in life were very, very different than they are now because of the philosophy of life, the philosophy of education, the philosophy of being was generally, for the most part, God-centered. So when we bring that back in, then people will see that what they see, those things that they can touch, is not being explained to them by the science. They've been misled. And the people who really explain the visible reality are the Hare Krishnas. And if the Hare Krishnas properly explain the visible reality, then that must mean, or that may mean, there's a good reason, that what they're talking about, that reality which is not visible, Krishna, spiritual world, Maha Mantra, the soul, and so on, that may also be the case. And therefore, you get a real wild, large movement towards spirituality and Krishna consciousness, and you get political upheaval. And people may also just say, well, listen, all of these politicians, all of the everybody else bought into this cheating system for their own benefit. The only people who stood out against it are the Krishnas. So why don't we let the Krishnas manage affairs? Well, Hare Krishna, I don't want to be the one to manage worldly affairs, and I not aware of people who do or necessarily fully capable, but I'm sure that there are and will be. And so, but this is happening from TOVP. 500 years ago, there was one revolution, one wave of preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with subsequent acharyas. There were also similar revolutions. The most recent one being Srila Prabhupada's appearance in the West that really caused a real revolution. And you may have noticed that there hasn't been much of a revolution since Srila Prabhupada's departure. But if we follow Prabhupada's instruction, then this TOVP will bring about another revolution, and that revolution may be the answer to people's questions about how is it that everyone will become Krishna conscious in the golden age. Let's see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has in store. Hare Krishna.